人人都会搜索你的。
Hello and welcome to In the Know with Sohiniwa, highlighting artists and their music. I'm your host, Sohiniwa, and I hope you all are having a nice evening. Now, for all you artists out there that are wanting to get your music played on the Infinite L radio show, please listen to this.
If you are an artist and you would like to get your music played on the Infinite L radio show, you may do so by emailing us at ile.music@infinitelenc.com. Again, that email address is ile.music@infinitelenc.com.
All right, for my listeners out there, the Poetry Jam segment that was slated to start April 19th, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time has been put on hold. I will have more information regarding this segment at a later date. So, wanted to let you know about my featured guest for this evening. Her name is Allie Angel. Hi, Allie. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm excited. It's my first radio show, so, you know, first time hearing my stuff on a show and first time talking on one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, we're going to make this comfortable for you this evening.
Love that. I haven't had a ton of, you know, practice, so I gotta warm up into it.
You know what? I get it. I think we all went through that at one point in time in our lives.
Yes.
So, Allie, tell me a little bit about yourself then, since this is your first show.
Yeah, so I'm from LA, born and raised. I went to school in New Orleans at Tulane University, and I've always done music. I grew up doing theater. I started guitar lessons in like third grade. And I grew up in the Valley, and my parents bring me on a lot of good music. So always been into music, always been a writer, a performer. And after graduation, I moved back to LA, and have just been trying to, you know, pursue my career ever since.
All right. You said you were in New Orleans. How long were you there? Was that from, like, early childhood, or were you at a certain age before you guys moved? Where were you at in your age?
So I went for college. So after I graduated high school, I went to Tulane. So for 4 years, I was there. So 18 to 22. And that was amazing. Oh, amazing. I love that city. My favorite city in America. So much good music.
Okay. All right. With that said, where did your soulful influence of music come from?
Good question. I don't know. I think I've just always been a big fan of soul and Motown, and I've always been drawn to it. You know, my cover that I put out is an Al Green song. I'm a Ram. And I don't know. I feel like I just grew up listening to great soul music and Motown, like Junior Walker and the All-Stars I love, and Brenton Wood, all the Al Green stuff, Marvin Gaye, Tina Turner. I think I've just, I don't know, maybe something about like the melodies and the chord progressions. I've always loved like the catchiness, the brass of that kind of music. And I think it kind of fits well with my voice. And I think as artists, a lot of the time we tend to gravitate towards stuff that comes naturally and fits naturally with our own sound. So for me, I think my voice has always kind of fit into that soulful, raspy, twangy kind of sound. And so it's always been a natural fit.
So would you say, because you said twangy, would you say you're like a mixture of different types of music in one, besides the soul?
Yeah, I would say so. A lot of people, I mean, I think I just sometimes talk in interesting accents because sometimes people ask me if I have an accent where I'm from the South. I've gotten that a couple times, which is interesting because I'm not. My mom is from Texas originally, so I grew up listening to country in the car with her. Willie Nelson, Dixie Chicks, lots of different stuff. And I've always liked a lot of country, and I love artists that mix the soul with the twangy, rocky country. I've always enjoyed it a lot. So I definitely think sometimes when I sing, a little twang comes out.
You got that. Because I can hear it when you're talking right now.
There you go. I feel
yeah.
like I'm probably
yeah,
really
into
that then too. But yeah, I love a lot of old country from the 90s. I grew up listening to like, I'm trying to think. I mean, Dolly Parton, I love. She's a huge inspiration for me. So I also lived in Nashville for a summer. So that was a great experience. And I've always thought my music and sound fits really well into that world too.
Okay. So when did you realize music was your calling, and at what age did you realize it?
I think I've always known music would be what I wanted to pursue, but I didn't always go after that. I mean, when I was little, I always did music. I started guitar, like I said, in third grade at a young age. I'd always be singing. I was always in the shows at all of my schools. But I was pretty shy when I was young. And my mom always tells me about the first audition I had for this play in elementary school. And I had to do the audition like 3 times because I cried every single time I started singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And finally, like the 3rd audition, I got through the song without singing. And the musical directors were like, oh, okay, you have a good voice. And so I got my first solo, big deal for me being in, I don't know what grade it was, 2nd grade, having a solo. And that was kind of like the first encouragement or like push of like, okay, like I'm good at this. And I think, you know, from then I just always pursued music. But in college, I didn't major in it, actually. I thought for a while, maybe I shouldn't pursue it. Maybe I'm not good enough to do it on my own. And so I kind of delved into the writing part of my passion and talent and put it energy into maybe, you know, like the idea of becoming a TV writer or film TV writer. And I majored in film. I made a short film in college, but I always did music stuff on the side and was always drawn back to it. And I started playing in a band with some guys senior year, and I loved it. And I had so much fun. And I was like, you know what? I will try and do this. Like, I shouldn't tell myself I'm not good enough. You know, I think I am good enough. And so when I graduated, I came back to LA and just went for it.
All right. I mean, you have to go after your passion in order to succeed. So I get that.
Exactly.
I know you write your own songs. And being you went from college and you came straight back to LA and you went for it, had you written your songs for anyone else, like for school, your plays, anything like that, or anyone musical, friends, family, other musicians?
Yeah, I've written songs for family members, friends, for birthday stuff. And I actually, a friend of mine who majored playwriting in college, she didn't go to TULA with me, but she's a cool friend. And we grew up doing theater together. She wrote a play and it won an award at her college. And they put it on at her college. And during quarantine, we were talking about it. And we really wanted to turn it into a musical. So I had actually written like 6 or 7 songs at this point for her play, turning it into a musical. And we had to kind of put a halt on the project because I was like, you know, I want to do this, but I don't have time to dedicate to like writing a musical and doing my own artist project and like working a job. And so I told her, like, let's do this at some point, but let's halt, you know, the production for now. But it was so much fun to write musical theater songs because I grew up doing musical theater. So that's another passion of mine. And I definitely could see myself at some point in my musical career pursuing that and writing a musical, or at least like what we were doing, turning a play into a musical. Like, you know, Sarah Bareilles did that with Waitress. Sarah Bareilles is an incredible songwriter. And I love when artists do things like that, where you can really tell that they have like so many different passions in music and they manage to pursue all of them. Like, I love that. So I definitely see myself doing different musical projects throughout the course of my career, and definitely writing a musical would be amazing.
Okay. So when writing, how do you go about finding your inspiration?
Good question. I'd say for me, what comes most naturally is just writing things from my own personal experience, as opposed to writing stories about, you know, made up characters or people or strangers. You know, of course, that makes incredible songwriting too. The Beatles do it all the time. It's just never been something that came as naturally immediately to me. I always write about my own personal experience. And that's why I started writing mostly once I went to college, because I found that there is so many more experiences to write about. So for me, sometimes I'll force myself, I mean, these days I force myself a lot of the time to sit down and write, even when I don't have a specific idea in mind. And I'll just start playing different chord progressions on my guitar, and random words off of my subconscious will come out and I'll write them down. And sometimes it'll form into an idea just out of the blue. And then other times I'll have a certain experience or emotion or situation that I want to make into a song, and I'll sit down and do that.
Okay. Now, you say you play guitar at an early age. Are there any other instruments that you wanted to play besides guitar?
Sorry?
No, I'm saying, was there any other instruments that you've learned besides guitar?
Besides guitar, yes. I took piano lessons for 3 years, 4 years maybe, but I can't play very well anymore. I write on piano, though, because I find that writing on piano brings a different energy to songs and kind of naturally makes me write in different styles than when I'm writing on guitar. Something about piano, I feel like I write more ballads based on piano, and then sometimes I'll bring out my guitar and start playing them and rewriting them on guitar, but I like to write on both. But I did do piano for 3 years, did recitals, everything. So, you know, I should practice more. But my next instrument, actually, recently I decided is I really want to learn drums, and I want to buy an electric drum kit so I can practice in my apartment without my neighbors getting mad.
Hey, drums, you know, they get out, so I understand what you're saying.
I do. Yeah, no one's going to love that.
Oh, no. No. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play one of your songs right now.
Awesome.
So this is Extra Wise by Allie Angel. I hope you all enjoy.
We have to.
And that was Allie Angel and her song, Extra Wide. Allie, what was the concept behind Extra Wide?
So Extra Wild, it's basically about like excitement and hope at the start of like a budding relationship and the potential of like, where can this go? Like all the daydreams and optimism and like feel good energy of the start of something new. You know, like the slow build and like the curiosity of what could happen. And I was also, you know, I said I'm really inspired by a lot of soul music and Motown. This one I was very much inspired by Motown in terms of the chord progressions and the writing. I did a lot of like fun metaphors, like stir me up something you like, make it a strong surprise that burns inside, the sweet and spicy kind. I wanted to be really playful with it because the whole message of the song is like very like the innocent love that is at the start of something new.
All right. I mean, we've all gone through it. So
yeah.
We've all been a little extra wild before. We've all been that little wild right there, the extra wild. So, yeah, it's touching on, like you said. So everyone can actually relate to that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, the relationship will last. So it's all about like the promise and hope and optimism of like what could be with something. And it's funny because my song I'm putting out tomorrow that we're also gonna hear is also about that, but it's kind of the darker side of that story and like kind of the obsessive nature of, you know, getting really wrapped up in this idea of this new person and what could be with that relationship. So they're kind of like cousin songs, lyrically, thematically.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you classify your music?
So in terms of a lot of the stuff on this EP, it's very retro soul pop and twangy rock, you know, kind of a mix of like all of that. You know, I've got like the brass and the horns and the retro soul feel and like Play Pretend, my debut single, and Extra Wild, and also I'm a Ram, the cover, and then Middle Name and another song, Beck and Call, are more alt rock, but they've still got the funky soul sound because it's still me, and we still have like, we have a 70s clav in it that's playing funky key hits and, you know, lots of different stuff. And then one of the songs, Hideaway, is very beachy, twangy, feel good. And then one slow song on it called Loving You Lately, which is a lot more stripped down. It's got the horns also. It has strings. It's really sweet. It's more of my, like, soul-slash-singer-songwriter-y song. So, yeah, it's a lot of inspiration, a lot of genres kind of melded into my sound.
And you can hear it throughout the whole entire song. So,
thank you.
That soulful side of you comes out beautifully.
Thank you. That's,
you're
that
welcome.
Means-
you know, but I also hear that twang, so you know.
Yes.
It's
I mean,
all
I'm,
there.
I'm from LA. I'm from the Valley, so, you know, not really. I can't say I'm an authentic country girl, but in my heart and in my soul, the twang is there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Have you performed on stage? And if so, what was your most memorable performance?
Yes, I performed a lot. So, you know, as I said, I have a bunch of experience on stage because I grew up performing in shows, all in school, and coffee shop, acoustic showcases, a lot of that. And then the past 2 years, since pursuing my own music, I've done a lot of live performance. Live performance has definitely been a big part of like my artist project. So I started off, you know, before I had my full band, who I play with now when we play shows, it was just me and my guitar. and I went to different acoustic like showcases and open mics and would play my stuff. But now I have a band that I play with, and those guys are awesome. They also perform and record all the stuff on these songs you're hearing. So they're my go-tos. And we play lots of different venues in LA. We're trying to build up into bigger ones. And it's great. I mean, one of my most memorable shows is the last show I played because not necessarily for the best reason. Well, it was a great show. It was in Venice, and the show was sold out, actually. It was four or five of us artists on one bill, and we sold it out, over 200 tickets, which is awesome. Biggest show I've ever played. And it was me and my band, and we're playing on stage, and we were doing the cover of I'm a Ram by Al Green that we had put out. And one of my like marketing things I do is I always do the splits, and I'll do videos about like drinking a random beverage and going down into the splits, and then the words will come up on the screen like pre-save my song or listen to whatever, just as like a funny marketing tactic. And so I hadn't done the splits on stage, but I'd always wanted to. And so for this show, I was like, okay, guys, like, we're doing this. I'm doing the splits on stage. So I start to slowly go into the splits. I'm belting. We're at like the peak of the song. And I get into the splits. The audience is screaming. They're enjoying. And then I hear like snap, crackle, pop, my knee, like not in the right place anymore. It like moved out of place. I felt a crunch. I heard a crunch. Nobody else did. And I'm like, at this point, like belting the song. And I'm like, oh God, what am I gonna do? And so I finish the song on the ground, and at one point I try and get up, and I realize I cannot like put weight to get up on that knee. And so I figure out another way to get up. And I make a joke about it after the song, but it was bad. I was off of my knee the whole weekend because like I was convinced I might have dislocated my knee or something, but I think it's okay. But it was bad. And I'm a little afraid to do the splits on stage again.
Wow.
I know.
That's a new one right there.
It was.
Wow.
I know.
I'm glad nothing happened. You're walking fine now. Everything's good.
I know. I stretched and all, you know, like I was conditioned for the split. But something wasn't right in that split position because it wasn't that I wasn't, you know, ready for it. I think there was like something with the cables on the stage, and I was holding the mic in one hand, so I couldn't put both hands down on the ground. It was bad, but you know what? I went through and I did the whole show. The adrenaline pushed me through because the next day my knee hurt a lot. And I was like, oh, God, I can't believe, like, Florence and the Machine, who played at Coachella, she, like, broke her leg on her set. And I probably the only reason she got through was because of the adrenaline. I mean, I'm not comparing me literally getting a slight tear in my knee to Florence and the Machine breaking her leg on stage, but I think the adrenaline is actually the only thing that helped me, like, pretend everything was fine on stage.
Man, I mean, the audience, it keeps you going. In
yeah.
In this case, this was a good thing from both of y'all. You, definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done a lot of performing. I love playing shows. It's one of my favorite parts of doing music.
The next day, up on ice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bedridden for the whole entire day.
Had to elevate. Had to ice it. Had to cancel all my plans. And I just watched like a murder mystery crime show. I binged it all weekend with my elevated knee. And my friend had taken a video of it, and he accidentally took a slow motion video of it. And it is so funny because I'm like belting the song and it's slow motion. And so you hear me, but it kind of sounds like I'm like screaming in pain. And you just see me slowly going into the split. It's funny. It's funny. Yeah. Looking back, it is, at least.
Whew. What skills have you learned that helped you in your singing career?
That's a good question. What skills have I learned? Would be one. Also, I mean, taking good care of your voice. I had to go to a vocal coach for a couple of weeks and work through some stuff going on with my throat because I had like soft nodules. So I didn't have nodes, but I definitely had a little bit of damage to my like nodes on my vocal cords. And so doing vocal exercises like regularly is really important. And I can't say that I do it regularly. I should, but I do it leading up to shows. And I also have a vocal steamer that I use and it is amazing. It like really hydrates my voice, my throat. I use it before every show. I use throat coat tea. And then I try and be selective about, you know, how much I'm going to be talking like the day before the show and, you know, trying to limit like the social interactions I have, because the worst thing for your voice, honestly, is like straining it in through talking and yelling as opposed to singing. Singing is actually the best thing a vocalist can do because it's kind of just like a muscle that you have to keep building and making strong. So consistent singing is important. It's talking that really messes up singers. So that's why, like, you know, they'll always be on vocal rest in between shows if you're on a big tour or something.
Okay. I mean, I can see that, but I never thought of, you know, talking to hurt your voice.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're not always as careful with the way we use our voice. The vocal teacher had taught me this. So, you know, like if you go to an amusement park, like if you're yelling at somebody across the way, like you're straining your voice, or if you're screaming on a ride, or, you know, if you're talking loudly over music, it's like when you go out to a party or a club or something and you're talking loudly all night, the reason your voice might be more scratchy the next morning is because like you're putting a bunch of strain on your voice by putting that pressure on it. And singing, you're using your muscles in a different way where you're not really strained. If you're properly singing and using your vocal cords, everything in the right way, you're not going to strain your voice in the same way you might like yelling or speaking really loudly.
Okay.
But I'm also not like a full expert. This is just what I've learned.
All right. What is it about music that makes you feel passionate?
Oh, man. I mean, I've always been a super creative person, super musical person. And I guess it's just, I think it's one of the most special ways people can connect with their emotions and their feelings in a really strong, direct way, because music is so immediate and present. Like the minute you put on a song that is important to you or is nostalgic to you or reminds you of a certain memory, your whole body and your whole mind kind of like revert back to the feelings associated with that song. Like it's just so powerful. And I think all creative, you know, mediums do that to a certain extent. I just connect the most with music because I'm also an auditory learner. I've always been drawn towards music and sounds. I've always been naturally good at like impersonations, impressions, languages, understanding things through talking to other people. So, you know, that's probably another reason music came more naturally to me and impacts me in that way. But yeah, it's like, you know, getting goosebumps or tearing up at hearing certain artists or certain songs that just make you feel, you know, feel the vibe, feel a certain way, and you can't control it. It's just so powerful.
All right. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and do another one of your songs, Allie.
Yay.
Now, this is the newest single that we're going to play tonight, and this is Middle Name by Allie Angel. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Kiwa every Thursday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. All right, listeners, the song that you just heard was the newest single by Allie Angel, and that was Middle Name. All right, Allie, where did that song come from?
So that song I wrote over a year ago. All of them, or most of the ones off the EP, have been written over a year ago. Like I was saying, it's kind of like the darker cousin to Extra Wild in terms of its theme, because it's also about the experience of starting to talk to somebody new, but kind of like the experience of, you know, obsessing over the idea of this person and this potential relationship with them, whereas you've maybe only been on like 3 dates with them. I don't know. It's happened to me plenty of times where, you know, have so many experiences where I start to date somebody and get really excited about the idea of what could become with this person. And I start imagining all these situations, like, you know, the lyric, I make up situations like a sick poetry. Like, it's not disturbing, but it's kind of like, I'm like imagining such intimate situations or like things that you would do with somebody you've been with, you know, for months or years with this person, when in reality, like, you don't even really know them. Like, you don't even know their middle name. They're complete strangers to you at the end of the day. And you have this idea of what could become with this person, but you might not even know if they're good, you're good for them, or they're good for you yet. And sonically, it was really inspired by one of my favorite bands, The Talking Heads, specifically the song Take Me to the River. And just, you know, that song has a very simple classic rock chord progression. And I love David Byrne and how dynamic he is with all of his sounds and his voice and his vocals. And so I kind of wanted to play with that in this one and do a big range of going from kind of like the more sultry, soft, gentle vocals to like the really great raw, rocky sounds in the choruses.
When listening to the song, I heard you reminded me of another artist. Your voice reminded me of another artist. And I was like, okay, she has it. not realizing that when I heard this, when I was listening to the song, you know, they have a similar vibe.
Who's artist?
Kelly Clarkson.
Well, you got Kelly Clarkson from that. Wow. I've never heard that. I mean, she has an incredible voice, so that's a very nice compliment.
So, like I said, that vibe that she has on this song and certain songs reminded me of her and you.
Well, thank you. I feel like she has, like, very powerhouse vocals. A lot of,
yes.
Like, you know, she's a fierce vocalist. So that's very nice.
Correct. You're welcome. Because your voice is unique in its own way. But in that song, I'm like, okay, I hear the rocker in her.
Yes. There's a little rocker.
I hear the rocker in her, but
yes.
I feel a hint of the soul.
Yes, we love that. Trying to mix and match all of it together.
Yes. So I'm like, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, nice mesh. It works out well.
Yeah.
That
one was also, like, that one was a bit of a challenge to figure out in terms of, like, the structure of it. There was a lot of different verse melody ideas, before we landed on that final version. And yeah, I always write my songs on my own, and then I'll take them to my band and we'll work the arrangement out in terms of like the drum pattern, the bass, the electric guitar, all of it. And so I think a lot of this record, this whole EP, has a very like full band sound, because all of the songs came together like that in a very old school kind of live natural way, which is nice. But I'm also doing a lot of stuff now where I'm trying to challenge that and start with different production elements in my writing, as opposed to, you know, writing a full song on my guitar and then bringing it to the band. I'm trying to kind of write in a way where I have more control over all the aspects. Like I was saying, like, I really want to learn drums and play around with my own drum patterns, be finding one that's cool, and then from there going, okay, I'm going to keep that on a loop and, like, play with some guitar melodies over it, and, like, really, like, let the production guide my songwriting, as opposed to the way I've always done it in the past.
All right. That. I know you're trying to get all these other patterns down and all that. How hard is that when sitting there and you're trying to put that song to paper?
Trying to get all the ideas down?
Yeah.
Hard. I mean, I think songwriting is a unique form of writing, in the sense that, I mean, like, you have a lot of freedom and opportunity, because there aren't really any boundaries in terms of, like, what formalities to use, what themes to write about, what tone to use, what voice to use. But the restriction lies in the fact that you don't have nearly as much space or time to write out ideas in, like, fully formed expressions. Like, you know, like, in a book, you can talk about the experience of 1 year of your life or something, or one story that took place over a week, but you have, you know, hundreds of pages to, like, conceive of that idea. Whereas in a song, you might be trying to depict a similar situation or experience or a relationship or something that happened, and you have like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and, you know, you have to figure everything out in terms of timing, rhymes. You know, if you're going to rhyme in your song, it's even more limiting, because you're limited to, like, whatever vowel you're ending on in that first line. Okay, well, I guess whatever I say in the second line, I have to find a word that rhymes with that vowel, but then, like, still fits the theme and the song. So it's hard.
Okay. Are there any artists out there, major artists out there, that you would like to work with or collaborate with?
I mean, major artists, I mean, I haven't gotten a chance to. I mean, I'm trying to do more songwriting with other writers and artists in my circle and in my surrounding circle. So, you know, because ideally I'd love to also write for other people and collaborate and work on other artist projects too. I've just been prioritizing my own project right now to try and really focus on, like, you know, dedicating myself to one project at a time, as opposed to spreading myself too thin. But, I mean, a dream collaboration for me would be, like, I mean, a couple of people. I really love Dan Auerbach, and I love his record label, Easy Eye Sounds. I love all the artists on it. I love his style of writing. Dave Cobb would be another one. I love all of the stuff he does production-wise. So those two guys, it would be a dream to work with and do production with. And in terms of writing, I mean, so many artists, you know. I have lots of artists I also would love to ideally open for on a tour, and could see that for myself in the future. That would be a big goal accomplishment for me.
All right. If you had the power to change anything in the music industry, what would you change?
Oh, wow. I mean, two things come to mind immediately. One, you know, like the gender gap. obviously this is for every profession, but there's just significantly less female producers, female engineers, female mixers, female musicians in general, you know. I actually was looking at an article the other day from my distributor, Symphonic, and it was all about, like, highlighting female-owned labels. And the list was so short of the ones they were highlighting. And, you know, most of them were pretty small and independent, which, you know, all more power to that. But it just makes you realize that the big ones who have most of the artists, most of the money, most of the influence and control are owned by men, which, you know, has got to change. We've got to change it, sis. More females in control. And then number two, the way writers, songwriters, musicians are paid and the value that's given to our music and our work, because it's ridiculous how much money we as independent artists, even artists under labels, you know, the money, the time, the effort, the artistic energy we put into making music, and then the money we get back in return for that from, like, passive streams, active streams, like any kind of stream of our music on Spotify or Apple Music or anything, YouTube, you know, like, we barely make any money off of that. Yet these platforms and these industries are exploiting our stuff. And, like, you know, it's not like we don't get paid at all for these, for stuff, we get royalties, but it's just, like, it's not the same because, you know, people don't really buy albums anymore. So it forces everybody to, you know, and with technology, it's made all artists, it's forced us all to become not only musicians and creatives, but it's forced us to become business people, social media content creators, like personalities online. You know, like, I was talking with somebody about how, you know, music is about, like, the music, you know, it's not about, like, what the person behind it looks like. Yet, you know, now there are so many TikTok artists who are blowing up and getting their songs famous because, you know, they just have a pretty face and, like, can lip sync their song on a TikTok. And, like, that puts, like, artists who are super talented also, but aren't as comfortable, like, lip syncing their song on a TikTok video and, like, putting on a bunch of makeup or something, it, like, puts them at a disadvantage because, like, maybe they don't feel comfortable promoting their music in that way or something. So, you know, it's tough to be an artist right now.
Yes, when you're not working, how do you relax at home?
My favorite thing recently, I love cooking, and I've gotten more and more into cooking recently the past, like, year or two. So I love, like, planning one of my big meals of the week and just, like, spending, like, an hour, 2 hours, like, prepping, cooking, and listening to, like, a murder mystery podcast. I love crime murder mystery podcasts. I love all podcasts, actually. So listening to podcasts is one of my favorite things. But that is, like, really my favorite wind down time right now. It's like cooking, glass of wine, little crime podcast. That's my fave.
Okay. I was down for a glass of wine.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, before we go any further, for all you artists out there wanting to get your music played on the Infinite L Radio Show, please listen to this.
If you are an artist and you would like to get your music played on the Infinite L Radio Show, you may do so by emailing us at ile.music@infinitelenc.com. Again, that email address is ile.music@infinitelenc.com.
Well, Allie, we're getting close to that time.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being on the show with me this evening.
Thank you. I mean, it's awesome to, you know, like, as an up-and-coming artist just starting out, any opportunity to talk about my music and my story and get my music played, anything is super exciting and means a lot to me.
I appreciate you for being on. Now, before you go, is there anything you would like to say or any shout-outs you would like to make?
Sure. I mean, you know, I don't think any of them are listening right now, but always want to thank my band, my co-producers, all of them for, you know, allowing me to, you know, have the opportunity to record my stuff and play shows. You know, they're the best. I want to thank my parents who are listening for all their support and help, all of my friends, everybody. Yeah, and everybody supporting independent music. I want to thank all those people. And for anyone listening who doesn't know me, doesn't follow me, you can follow me. You can listen to all my stuff on wherever you listen to music, Ali Angel, A-L-I, Angel, A-N-G-E-L. And on Instagram, it's Ali Angel Music, Ali May Angel on my Facebook, Spotify, I mean, my Facebook page. Yeah, so thank you again for having me.
You are so welcome, and you have a nice evening, Allie.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, listeners, go check out our affiliate, so Rhythm and Views, which airs every Friday on YouTube at www.youtube.com/Rhythm and Views. I want to let you know my next show is going to be April 14th, 2022 at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and my featured guest will be singer, rapper, songwriter, and music producer Deion Williams. Well, we're coming to an end to the show. I would like to thank you all for tuning in and listening, and I hope you all have a nice evening. Good night.